welcome to the Destiny Church Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message. For information about this podcast and other resources, visit destinydayton.com.
I want you to just remain standing, if you will, as we read the Word. But get your Bible, if you can. I see you all reaching up down for your phone or whatever device you have. And I want you to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. And we're going to read verses 16 through 18. We're going to read this passage, these three verses, and then we're going to pray. Are you ready? Yes. Paul, the Apostle Paul said, "Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Father, we just thank you today, God. Thank you, first of all, that you hear and answer our prayers. Oh, hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your Word. Father, I ask you, God, to open our hearts today and speak. God, pierce our souls, God. Father, God, cut out, God, the stuff, the muck and the junk of the flesh, God. So that the Spirit could rise in my brothers and sisters. Father, speak through me, I pray. I humble myself before you, and I give you glory in Jesus Christ's name. And everybody shout a big amen.
Amen.
All right, you can be seated. Thank you. You can be seated. All right, here we go. You know, in the last few years, I don't need to tell you, but things have drastically changed in our nation. And the things that are happening and that we're seeing, experiencing, hearing, it's not that these things weren't in our nation before, they were. But it's like during the pandemic, the cover was taken off and all these demons came out from under the woodwork and came out into the open, and it was revealed. And I think that's exactly what has happened. And there's a number of manifestations of that. I mean, I don't need to go through the litany. You know much of it. But what I want to focus on is this particular thing that affects not just our culture, but it's directly affecting the church. And that is what I have seen is, starting with the pandemic is what did it, but it's grown since then, that there was a spirit of fear that was released. And in the last 3 years, we have seen fear, I mean, like I have never seen before in a wholesale fashion. People, it's all been well documented. There is widespread depression, discouragement. There have been more suicides by far than before, particularly among our young people. Anxiety is out the roof. It's manifesting in anger, you know, both on the street and road rage and other things. Just frustration and stress, all these things. Y'all have seen this, right? You know, in our society. And the thing is that what I have seen is this spirit. Let me just say this, that all that stuff I just mentioned, at its very root, is just simply raw fear. It's important that we call it what it is, fear, because fear is a spirit, and we have authority over fear. Sometimes when you use the words anxiety or stress or discouragement, These seem just like emotional issues that need counseling. And, you know, I believe in counseling, you know, in many different respects, but are need some other kind of natural remedy. But at the root of all of these is fear. And fear is a spirit. And the Bible says that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. John says that perfect love casts out fear. Isn't that interesting? It's interesting that term, using casting out in relation to fear, which tells you that fear cannot be coddled, it cannot be managed, it cannot be counseled out. You know, fear is a spirit, and John says it's got to be cast out. There needs to be a deliverance, a rooting out of that thing, that spirit of fear. And so anyway, I mean, this has been pervasive. I've seen it in the churches, you know, many churches, you know, I've been to where the pastor would tell me that they, you know, that the attendance has reduced, you know, in church since, you know, in the last few years. And but many people, there's been a number of people that have said, oh, don't worry, Pastor. You know, we're still with you. We're still part of the church. We're just partaking online. And so that they have become an online church. And look, I thank God for that technology, you know, and that we can, you know, our church does it, you know, and I thank God that you're doing it. But I just want to say, because I'm not speaking to you who are here, I'm speaking to wherever you are that camera is, those who are watching online, that's great if you're watching online because you're under the weather today, or you got a sick child, or there's some other real good reason. But if you're doing that, you know, for no reason at all, thinking that this is your church, then I want to tell you something. You are acting in rebellion. Now, you don't have to say amen to that. I mean, look, I'm going to say this stuff, and then I'm leaving town this afternoon. Matter of fact, I'm leaving the whole state so I can say whatever I want to. And you look, but I'm not saying this angrily. I'm in a spirit of love and concern. I'm saying to those who think that online church is their church experience, is I want to tell you, you're either doing that because, number one, you're lazy, or because you have a spirit of fear. I've seen some Christians decide they're going to stay away from, you know, congregating with people. I mean, even now there's people like that. And so I'm just saying this. The church is the ecclesia. And ecclesia in the Greek means the ones who are called out of the world, but that's only half of it. They're called together as the body of Christ. They're called in to the body of Christ. And to be a part of the church, you're a family, you're a body, and you must participate together. Can I hear a big amen on that? Now, so there's this spirit of fear, and so I begin to dive into this passage to see how Paul dealt with this spirit of fear. And he says it like this. So, and let me just set this up for those of you who weren't here last night. The way I preach is the way I study the Bible. In other words, I pay strict attention to the words. In other words, don't pass over the words. And so if you listen to how I preach, it actually, you not only get the gist of what Paul is saying, but you can actually get some insight that'll help you to study the Bible. And so anyway, here we go. Paul starts out saying this. He says, therefore we do not lose heart. To lose heart here in the Greek simply means to not despair, or to not lose heart is to not despair or get discouraged or become disheartened, all right, or lose hope. So Paul is saying here, get this. He's saying, look, I have found a way to live in such a way that you do not lose heart. You do not get discouraged, in despair, disheartened, or lose hope. Paul does not say that, hey, I have found a way that maybe sometimes you won't get in despair or discouraged or disheartened. You know, sometimes this may help you. Paul says, I love the words, do not. Do not. He didn't say we may not or possibly could not. He said, we do not. You get what I'm saying? So in other words, he's saying, I have found a way under all circumstances. He said, we do not lose heart even though our outward man is perishing. He said, I don't care what hell is coming against you. I found a way in your worst, darkest hours for you to never, ever lose heart, get discouraged, or get in despair, or lose hope. Not up and down like many Christians' experience is, but he said, I found a way to always live in victory, always live on the top, conquering, and never losing heart, never getting into despair or discouraged. Now, I don't know about you, but if Paul is saying that emphatically, that he's found that, I want to know what he's found, right? And Paul, in this passage, actually gives us keys to doing exactly what he says. And the first key is in the first word of this sentence. He says, therefore, we do not lose heart. It's interesting. I always say that when you see the word therefore, you have to ask what the word is there for. Because therefore is there for a reason. That's deep. You have to think about that. But therefore simply means because, and it's pointing backwards to what Paul said. So when Paul says therefore, he's saying because of what I just said, that's why I don't lose heart and get in despair. So we have to look back at what Paul just said. What did he just say? Go backward to verse 13. Paul said, and since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak. Now don't miss this. Watch this. Paul says, because of what I just said, I never lose hope, never get in despair, always walk in victory. And Paul says, here it is what I just said. I just said, just like, here what he's saying, just like David in the Old Testament said, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also have the same spirit of faith. We believe and therefore we speak. Paul is saying, listen, here's one of the first key in how we never lose hope or get disheartened. He says, we speak what we believe. We don't speak what we feel. We don't speak what we hear on the news. We don't agree with or focus on, concentrate on, pay attention to what we hear out there in the world. We don't speak what our senses tell us. We speak what we believe. Our words, our actions, our thoughts all align with what God says about me and not what my body or the world or the doctor or the banker says about me. What God says about me is the truth. I may have pain in my body or some dysfunction in my body. Those are facts. But the facts are not the truth. The facts and the truth are two different things. What the doctor says is the facts. What God says about me is the truth. And if I will believe the truth always changes the facts. Ah. Now I'm going to tell you something. You may have heard something like that before, but what Paul is saying, you want to walk in victory? You want to keep out of a spirit of fear, out of despair? Then you need to get busy taking your mouth and ruling over your mouth, over your thoughts, over your heart, over your conduct, and demanding that your flesh adheres to what God says about you. And then Paul goes on to say this. Look at this. He says, so we believe, therefore speak. Look at verse 14. Knowing that, knowing, everybody say knowing. You remember I said pay attention to the words, right? So when I look at knowing, I say, wait a minute. I don't pass that up. He said, we believe, therefore we speak knowing. Here's the key. Knowing is different than believing. Knowing is different than believing. Folks, listen to me. Paul did not say that he never loses hope because of what he believes. He says he never loses hope because of what he knows. And what he believes is based on what he knows. Did you get that? He said, we believe, therefore we speak knowing. In other words, our believing and our speaking is based upon what we know. Knowing is different than believing. Your faith is not hooked in midair on some general idea that, oh, you know, God is good and I just believe God's going to come through. You know, that's the way many Christians are. It's like, you know, they're walking through something and they don't get in the Word to root their faith on facts of the Word of God, to know something. And so, yes, and say, well, what do you believe in God? Oh, yes, I believe God is good. Well, I believe God is good, too. The devil knows God is good. But that doesn't mean anything. What facts do you know that you base your believing on? Hard fact. And so Paul says this. He says, we believe knowing what? Look at this. He says, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus. So he says this. This is interesting. He focuses here. Yes, it's on redemption. But sometimes when Paul talks about redemption, sometimes he focuses on the cross. Sometimes he focuses on the death. He'll focus on the burial. But here, Paul is singularly focusing on the resurrection. And don't miss this. You get that. So when Paul focuses on different aspects of redemption, he does it because he's conveying a certain message. When he focuses on death, he's, you know, like when he talks about us dying with Christ, he talks about death. Here he only talks about the resurrection. Listen to this. And the reason is, he's saying, we never lose hope because we believe what we know. And what we know is that after the cross, God raised Christ from the dead. And when God raised Christ from the dead, what was happening there is that Satan lost his hold and his control over everything Jesus paid the price for. Jesus bore sin. He bore, but he also bore griefs, sorrows, pains, adversities. Jesus bore all of that on the cross. And when he was raised from the dead, he broke the power of Satan over sin, yes, but over grief, over sorrow, over pain. Are you with me now? He broke all of that stuff over him, you know, over us. And he says, if he did that, if Christ did that, then he also does it in us. If it's broken over him, then God will raise us up, meaning God has broken the power of those things, grief, sorrow, pain, adversity, fear, anxiety, discouragement. Are y'all with me now? Depression. He's broken the power of those things over us. They have no power over us. What Paul is saying, I don't get in despair, not because of something that I believe that God is going to do. He's going to bring me out. No, I don't lose heart because of what I believe has already happened. He has already broken these things off of me. Now, here's the thing. Listen to this. So you're free. Paul says, I don't lose heart because I'm free. But then you say, well, why do we still experience these things? Why do we still experience all of these battles that we have to face? Listen, God has never promised you that you would never have trouble. He's never promised you that you would have some, you know, beautiful, trouble-free existence. In fact, he did the opposite. Jesus said in John 16:33, he said, in this world you will have tribulation or trouble, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. What's he saying? Here's the deal. Listen to this. Yes, you will experience trouble. As a matter of fact, the Bible almost promises it that you will. But the thing is, you will experience it, but it no longer has any power over you. It's kind of like death. Death. When Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, he says, oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? We still die, don't we? We're all still going to die unless Jesus comes first. But we experience that process of death. But death has lost its power over us. It no longer has any sting. What in the world does that mean? I'm going to show you what that means. Let's go on in 2 Corinthians 4:16 and look at this. In 4:16, therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Now I want you to look at this passage with me. Watch. If I was studying this, which I have and I've done this, I would circle or highlight in some way the word outward and then the word inward. Outward and inward. And in those two words is the key to unlock what Paul is talking about. What Paul is doing here when he says, though the outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day, he is introducing this idea that we live in two worlds. That we are citizens of this world, but we are also citizens of heaven. Are y'all with me now? Yeah. Now, folks, don't miss this, because this is not just some point of doctrine or theology. This here is huge in you walking out victory in your life. Paul says we don't lose heart because we have this outward man. And the outward man, which is the fleshly man, the man of all my senses, all the lusts of the flesh, my feelings, my desires, my reasonings, my emotions, all of that belongs to the outward man. And he says, the outward man experiences perishing or wasting away or destruction. The battle rages in the outward man. He said, but the inward man, the inward man is the spiritual man. The hidden man, as Paul calls him, the hidden man of the heart. The inward man. And the spiritual man, or the inward Rick Shelton, is the real me. Don't miss this. That outward man is not the real me. That outward man comes from the dust of this earth. It belongs. This flesh belongs to the earth. It doesn't belong to heaven. The proof of it is, when I die, this flesh is going to go back into the dust of the earth because it belongs to earth. Since it came from earth and will go back to earth, then this earth is what blasts this flesh with all of its troubles. This outward man experiences the raging battle. But Paul says there's an inward man that is renewed day by day. And this spiritual man Even though the outhole, listen to this, even though the outward man is being hit and bombarded with 1,000 attacks, yet you can live in such a way to where the inward man is never affected by the battle. The inward man is never disturbed. The inward man is never touched. That's what Paul means when he says we can never lose heart. We never will always walk in victory. It doesn't mean that you won't face the trouble. What he's saying, though, is that battle will never touch my inward man. Hallelujah. He'll never get me to bow my knee in my real man, my spiritual man, because my spiritual man did not come from this earth, and it will not return. When this outward man goes back to the dust of the earth, immediately when it does, then my spiritual man goes back to where it came from. Ah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's why I tell people the greatest fear is the fear of death. And really, if you would study it, all fears have as their root the fear of death. Paul said it. He says that people all their lifetime are subject to bondage through fear of death. All bondages have at the root as their root the fear of death. And the thing is that I tell people, you've got to get rid of that fear of death. You've got to get rid of it. You've got, if you have a fear of death, then you are not yet understanding what this whole book is all about and what God has really done for you and who you really are, that you are not made for this earth, yet only temporarily. This earth, at best, is merely a testing ground, a proving ground, a preparation ground. That's all it is. That's why through the Bible you hear things like, we're passing through. That's why you hear things when it always says, and it came to pass. We're just passing all the time. This is preparation ground. What we're made for is eternity with God. And not just in heaven. We often say eternity in heaven. It's not just eternity in heaven. After we go to heaven, heaven comes down to earth. That 1,500-mile square city, 1,500 miles high, will come and sit down on the Mount of Olives. But yet, we will not only rule with Christ from that city on the Mount of Olives. The doors and the gates will be open. And the Bible says that we will go in and out of there and rule not just the earth, but we will rule the universe. Ah! Hallelujah! That we will reign with Him. From earth, an earth made new, cleansed, renewed by fire. Oh, my Lord, hallelujah. Find myself wanting to camp out there a little bit. One problem the church has, much of the church, is that we have forgotten in recent times about heaven. We've forgotten about eternity. Are you listening to me now? Folks, we have forgotten that we are not made for this world. I don't mean to be disrespectful or in any way, you know, mean or tough, but I'm just going to tell you that when books are written by Christians and pastors like Have Your Best Life Now, folks, in other words, on earth, have your best life now. Folks, if this is my best life, then I'm in trouble. If this, and I don't mean disrespect, but if this is good as it's going to get, baby, we're in trouble. In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul said this. He said, if in this world only we have hope. Paul's saying, if this is all we got, he said, we are of all men the most pitiable. This is not all we've got. The thing, the number one thing that will break the spirit of the fear of death is understanding who you are, that you are not your outer man. You're your inward man that will live forever. And therefore, whatever touches that outward man, everything you're afraid of is all stuff that touches the man of the flesh that's going to go back to the earth. Sickness, disease, tumors, all kinds of imperfections. The stuff that attacks your finances, the possibility of financial ruin, things that affects relationships, things that affects your job, all that has to do with the outer man. But folks, listen, when you understand that that outer man that came from the earth, when he goes back into the dust of the earth, all it's going to do is it's going to release you from this sin-cursed, messed up world, this dark place, and you're going to be released into the sunlight of the glory and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ to live for eternity with Him. Hallelujah. I think whenever you get that, you'll run around the room. Because that stuff's just the truth. So Paul is saying here, he's saying, here's a key to never losing heart, always walking victory. He said, you need to delineate between the outward man and the inward man. And understand while the outward man's being hit with all kinds of destruction. He says, now watch this, the inward man is being renewed every day. The inward man is a citizen of heaven. Now folks, that's not some like just crazy idea. Paul says that in Philippians chapter 3. We are citizens of heaven. And so we live from heaven. You know, Paul says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And I think verses 20 or 21, Paul says this. He says, we are ambassadors for Christ. Now, folks, listen. Focus on that. Do you know what an ambassador is? An ambassador is an emissary. Listen to this. An emissary sent out from an ambassador is an emissary sent out from his homeland to a foreign land or foreign country to represent his homeland in that foreign country. And when an ambassador goes out to that foreign country and lives there, he's living there to establish and enforce the will of his home government. And as he does that, watch this, all of his resources and provision do not come from the foreign territory that he's in, but his resources and provision comes from his homeland. All of his protection comes from his homeland. See, Paul calls us ambassadors from the homeland. And I love this one. An ambassador has diplomatic immunity. Ah! Which means he cannot be judged by or penalized by the foreign land that he's in, that he is only judged by his home country or his home government. I mean, I love that. I've meditated on that, where Paul's saying, I don't lose heart because I know I'm an ambassador from another country. Do you get that? Paul, I could imagine, you just constantly meditated on this idea that we're not from here. We are governing or ruling from a foreign land, or from a homeland into this foreign land. He said, that's why we don't lose heart. He said, but watch this. Here's the way we do it. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. In other words, how will the inward man walk in victory at all times? It's through being renewed day by day. day. Now, folks, listen. Why, you ever thought this? Why does your spiritual man need to be renewed every single day? All the years that I pastored, a number of times I had people come to me and say, Pastor, I just don't understand why just when I come through something, God deals with me, I repent, I get it straightened out, God unpeels another layer, you know, and I get that straightened out, and I feel like, man, finally, I'm on the way, man. I'm righteous, I'm free, I'm clean, I'm victorious. And about that time, all of a sudden, God peels back another layer, and I have to go through it again. And then I get the victory over that. And then 6 months later, God peels another layer. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? And I've had them ask me, say, Pastor, when is God going to be through? He said, why? I've heard him say, why doesn't God just peel all of it back at one time and show me all the stuff there is? First of all, dear heart, you don't want that. Trust me. All the stuff there is. And then God deal with it, root it all out at one time, mess with it all at one time, cleanse me out, and then pour in all the grace, all the mercy, all the Holy Spirit, the oil that I need, all at one time. Then I can just be on with it, good and on with it, and not have to mess with it anymore. And I tell them this. I said, you want to know why God doesn't do it? He doesn't do it. He requires you to be renewed every day. Because if God did it that way, within 6 months, you would totally be away from God. You would be complacent. You would no longer be seeking Him like you do. You would no longer have the passion you do. Because, folks, let's admit it. A great part of what keeps us on our face before God is the troubles that we go through. The adverse, I know that there's some people like to think they're above that. Oh, no, I don't need that. Give me a break. We're all human beings. It's the adversities, the challenges, the things we face that keep us on our face before God. That's why God gives you children. Come on, you know, if you're honest, they're the ones that keep you on your knees. Right? And so God really designed us like as buckets that leak. It's like there's this picture I've created, like where it's like your spirit, and you got this bucket, and at the top there's this wide open spout for you to receive the grace, the presence of God every day, every morning. But then it goes into this bucket, and at the bottom somewhere there are three or four holes where it's leaking out all the time. And folks, what's interesting is that's the way God designed us. He designed us. God wanted us to leak so that we would need to come to the gas station every single day and get filled up. Don't miss this, because God is more interested in keeping you close to Him than He is in fixing everything for you. Are you with me now? You always pray God to change things, and God will change things. But why does He take a while? Why does it take so long? Listen, God doesn't need the time. You need the time. You ever thought about Mark 11:24, when He says that when you pray, believe that you receive and you shall have them? You ever broken that down where it says you believe that you've got it, or you receive it? In other words, you take it by faith. The moment you pray, we believe, we receive when we pray. Right? Boom! Right then. But then He says, and you shall have it. Shall future tense. And when he says shall, he doesn't say how long down the road, how long it's going to be. If it's going to be short, come y'all with me now. If it's going to be long, he says in that little verse, he's telling us something. God could have designed prayer to work any way he wanted it to. He could have designed it to work where basically we just snap our fingers, God, boom, and the thing happens. Why did God design it to where that you pray? The moment you pray, you believe, God, I believe, I receive it based on your word. But then in some uncertain, unknown timetable in the future, God's going to do it. We don't know when. We don't know how. But God designed it where we keep clinging to him and we believe God through the dark hour of our soul, day after day after day, not knowing when. Why did God design it like that? Because that whole continuum line between the moment you first start hanging on to God in prayer and the moment that it comes to pass in your life, that is the design of God to keep you close to him. God works stuff in you. I mean deep stuff in you while you're in that continuum of hanging on to God for something that would never happen in your life if you didn't hang on to God like that. So when you understand that, then that whole process of persistence in prayer is really more about God doing stuff in you, changing you, than it is the stuff you're praying for him to change out there. Now, Selah, meditate on that just a moment. Now, of course, God is interested in changing the things, and he will. But what Paul is touching on here is this whole idea that the inward man, yes, all that battle raging against the outward man will not touch me at all. I can walk in joy and peace and victory every day of my life, no matter what hell comes. But I've got to understand that the inward man has to be refueled and refilled every single day. There has to be a renewal every single day. You can't live on yesterday's fuel or yesterday's grace. Amen? It was an interesting passage in Matthew 6:34, I believe it is, where he says, you know, it's that passage where he says, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, all these things be added. And then he says, sufficient unto the day is the trouble thereof, which simply means there's trouble every day specifically designed for today. Satan has Sunday trouble designed for you. He's got some box somewhere that said Monday's trouble. He's already got it for Monday. He's got Tuesday's trouble. Isn't that interesting? Trouble for every day. Watch this. But then when you look over in Lamentations chapter 3, you know what it says? The Bible says that God's mercies are new every morning. So you've got today's trouble and tomorrow's trouble and the next day's trouble, trouble for every day. But you've got mercy, Sunday's mercy, Monday's mercy, Tuesday's mercy and grace, Wednesday's more mercy. Are y'all with me? And the point is this, listen to me. You can't deal with tomorrow's trouble with today's mercies. You can't. And you know how people try to do that? Deal with tomorrow's troubles with today's mercies? Is they worry about it. You know what worrying about it is? Worrying about it is trying to deal with troubles in the future that you have no mercy and no grace to deal with. Because the mercy and the grace is not going to come to you until you get there. Hallelujah. And then secondly, people try to deal with tomorrow's troubles by with today's mercies. They'll pray today, have a great time with God. get up tomorrow and decide, I'm going to ride off of yesterday's mercy and grace. And they get up and they find, no matter how great it was yesterday, for some reason God's designed it, I cannot live dealing with tomorrow's troubles on yesterday's mercy and grace. Isn't that interesting? And this is exactly what Paul is teaching us here. That we have to live being filled every single day. Renewing our life with the Word of God every single day. Immersing ourselves in that Word. Spending time with God every single day. Because we do leak. Not even tomorrow. You leak by the end of the day. That's why David prayed three times a day. Morning, noon, and night. It's because you leak. It just depends on how full you want to stay. Oh, thank you for your tremendous response there. Hallelujah. So Paul, I could go on and on this passage if I had time, but Paul, can I ask you a question? Do you all see what I'm communicating here about how that when you break this passage down, Paul is giving a specific definitive truths that are the keys to him walking out victory in his life. In other words, folks, don't approach God and His Word like you're just looking for a promise out of the promise book, you know, to have with your cereal in the morning, you know, like, oh, this is my promise for today. No, Paul is giving us real deeply rooted truths that he builds his life on that cause him to walk in victory. And folks, my prayer for you is in the coming days, I don't know what's going to happen. And I'm not going to prophesy any gloom and doom, but I will tell you, things don't look good. You know, people think, oh, don't say that. You know, that's negative. Well, the Bible says that in the latter days that as things grow darker and grossly dark and sinful, more, the Bible says it will grow more dark. It says also the grace of God will abound. The love of God will grow. The grace of God will begin to multiply. So there'll be these two things happening at one time. And I want you to be on that side where you can shine with the glory of God, with joy in your heart, no matter what happens, all hell breaking loose in the world. Amen. Are y'all with me on that? Come on, give the Lord praise in this place.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. This message and other resources are available at destinydayton.com.